Did you put your phone in a melted pot of chocolate, such as a fondue pot?
I think I might have. So I had a candy bar here the other day, and might not have cleaned it as well as I thought I did. And now I got chocolate phone.
Just another subconscious sabotage of your phone that you've been doing for 2 years, wanting to get a new phone. Brian bought his phone and immediately hated it, and has been trying to find a way to get rid of it for like 2 years. He doesn't have any kind of a case on it at all. It's just like, if he drops it, it's going to be totally broken, and he doesn't care.
I'm going extreme bravado. Either I'm going to be diehard and badass and just have a phone without a case, or I'm going to have a new iPhone. Which I will put up a case on.
Right.
Okay, so let me tell you about this phone and why it sucks. One of the worst design decisions I've ever seen in modern technology.
What phone is it?
It is a Samsung Galaxy S9.
Okay.
And, you know, they make very nice products. Samsung's a good company. My TV is a Samsung. But this phone, my fucking God, the screen bends over the edge, the mm-hmm. sides of the phone, so you cannot hold the thing without triggering a response from the touch screen.
That's annoying. I do think the proper case could guard against that. But... you know, like a case that blocks you from touching the edge of the phone.
Yeah, but I don't... Look, I like sleek. If I were to get a case, it's going to be as... It's not going to be a case so much as it's going to be a screen protector.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had a really nice glass one, those really thin ones, and something happened. I think you dropped it.
Well, it would have just been a screen protector, right? I don't think you had a case on the back of it, right?
No, it was only a screen protector.
Yeah, you had a screen protector, and then it was on my... Your phone was on my lap, and then you, like...
Braked the car.
Yeah, you turned hard, or hard enough, and then the phone flew off my lap and smashed into the door of your car, which your car, ironically, would later end up being smashed into the median of a highway.
So
a lot
are
of destruction.
Unrelated.
Completely unrelated. Completely unrelated, separated by over a year, if not more. But so that broke the glass cover of your phone, which probably protected the phone. But you could have just gotten another glass cover.
I could have. And
you still could. But it wouldn't fix your problem of the bezeling or whatever it's called.
So the actual... I did, in fact, buy another one. And I botched putting it on.
I remember
and
that.
And then I was pretty angry that day.
Well, it involves some bravado, I think. Like, we got it, and I was like, it's really hard to put these on. And you're like, it's absolutely not. And I was like, you should read the instructions. And you were like, no, I got this. And then you botched it. And then you were mad.
Yeah. And...
Whoops.
I was so angry. I was angry at myself, too, because I knew that it was my bravado that had, like, done me in.
Mm-hmm.
It always is, you know?
It does suck when you're like, I totally got this. And then you fuck up and you're like, ugh. I should have been more careful.
Maybe take a fucking chill.
Take a minute. Like, just because you're good at 99% of things doesn't mean you can't just take a minute and do it right.
I mean, I am good at 100% of things.
Not that.
Apparently not. This is hoisted by my own petard. Is mm-hmm. that it?
I think so.
Yeah. Something along that effect.
Or like the Icarus situation.
Yeah, right. I don't need to do things carefully. I'm God.
Yeah. And that's how we got reality.
That day off really did us in.
God's like, I'm done. Have fun. Knock yourselves out.
Oh, welcome to Breakfast with Your Friends, where we talk about getting chocolate on our phones.
And we channel the voice of God through us.
That is a thing that you said.
I said it before you introduced the podcast, and I'm saying it again.
You're saying it, we're thinking it, or
right.
Something like that.
The big mouth reference is you're picturing it, and we are talking about it.
I have heard that, though, before Big Mouth, definitely.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I hadn't.
Yeah.
I hadn't, so.
I think it was a common, maybe not the most common. But
well.
Yeah, clearly it couldn't have been that common because you didn't hear about it.
I don't hear about a lot of things. That's no indicator one way or the other.
The way I see it is if I hear about it, I immediately assume that the world knows about it because I'm always the last person to find out about things.
I remember when I first met you, you said that you lived under a rock.
I still do.
Yeah.
It is a mighty fine rock, and I don't want to go anywhere.
And you couldn't anyway, because it's a rock.
And
it's very large.
I'm being crushed and suffocated. Please help me. My God.
In order to get him out, we have to cut off his arms.
No, I like my arms.
I know, but that's the problem is the
Take
rock.
Take everything else.
We'll just leave you there. We'll just bring you food. You can keep your arms. Unfortunately. Good news, you get to keep your arms. Bad news, you have to stay tethered to this rock, and also you can't move your arms, because they're under the rock.
Damn,
shouldn't have gotten this predicament. But you do know a lot of pop culture references that I don't know.
I thought I lived under a rock, and then I met you.
Yeah, I live under a rock.
You're in a rock beneath the rock.
I live in a cave, and there's holes at the top, and there's sunlight that comes through at certain hours of the day.
Oh,
I know things. I know things about very specific things.
This is like...
I know a lot about the band Rancid. I know a lot about some other things. I know I'm learning about World War II.
Okay. Look at you. You've added another hole. Plato would be proud.
Last night we were joking about my cat being the reincarnation of General Patton. And Ryan was like, "Do you know how Patton died?" And I was like, "Yes, I do. He died in a car crash. A really stupid one." And you were like,
"Oh,
I didn't think that was the reason that was how he died."
Yeah, I kind of like, I half knew that he died while he was still in Germany, but I didn't know how.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I assumed it was cooler, like getting blown up by a landmine.
No, it was stupid. It was
like a fender bender.
It was a low speed, like, car crash over the car he was being driven around in, and like a U.S. Army like truck, and everyone else in his car was fine except he hit his head.
You know for a fact
$1 million baby style. Sorry.
You know for a fact he was the only one not wearing a safety belt.
Well, I don't know if they had them back then, honestly. He hit his head on the glass partition and fractured some parts of his neck area, and then he was paralyzed, and then he died of like complications of like a few weeks later of being paralyzed. So he was like, "This is a hell of a way to die," he said, reportedly. Yeah. Repeatedly, perhaps, but reportedly.
Probably he wants to make sure someone hears it.
It does suck for him. But it's because I was watching a World War II documentary, and my cat, Patches, was very interested in the sound effects of it, which was like machine gun.
You know Patches is into war.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and not in, like, a historical...
No, she's like Patton. Like, she, when World War II ended, Patton was like bummed out because he's like, "I'm probably never going to fight in another war again."
Yeah.
And Patches feels the same. She's like, after this last episode of this World War II documentary plays, I'm probably never going to get to watch a war again, which is probably true unless I watch another series.
Maybe you'll get into the Korean War. It does follow.
I could. I mean, it depends on whether there's a documentary about it, but...
You should talk to my father, who has every documentary about every war.
Oh, I should talk to your father about war.
Yeah, he's super into it.
I actually hate war as a thing, but sometimes things about wars can be interesting.
He watches war movies constantly and calls them horror.
Well, that's true. I mean, they are horror. War is hell. Patton,
as a person said.
Patton liked war a little bit. I think he thought it was sort of like a invigorating thing, you know, like,
yeah.
And I mean, he kind of got a kick out of it, and that's the same as Patches. So I think she is there's some, Patton has some good quotes. I think one of them is something to the effect of like the goal of war is not to die for your country, it's to make the other guy die for his, or something like that. Something like that. Another Patches thing.
That if Patches wasn't as lazy as she was, she'd be like out like on the war path.
She'd be like a 4-star general.
Oh yeah, at this no point. Question.
Yeah,
wasn't she gonna be your general anyway, Hillary Rodham Kitten?
Have I
divulged something?
Hillary Clinton.
God.
Hillary Clinton is a politician.
Yes.
But Hillary Kitten is my cat Patches, here's what's going to happen, or what is going to happen in a movie, one of the two. Art imitates life, life imitates art. We'll see. Yeah. So Patches runs for president as Hillary Kitten, which is Patches in a Hillary Clinton mask. She gets elected. It turns out a cat was just elected. I'm the only one who can understand what Patches' wishes are. So I have to be de facto. I'm basically like a dictator via Patches. So, Patches is dictator. Well, okay. We switched from president to dictator pretty quickly during this first term.
Okay.
And I'm the only one who supposedly understands what Patches' wishes are. Really, she can't talk. So I am the dictator.
Exacting your will.
I'm the dictator, but via this cat who was originally democratically elected.
So you're like Eleanor Roosevelt.
Pretty much, yeah. Although okay. FDR wasn't. I'm more like Mommy Nancy Reagan.
Oh, Jesus. Or what is it? Woodrow Wilson's wife. What
yeah.
was her name?
Mrs. Wilson. I don't know.
Mrs. Wilson, president de facto.
Yeah, after his stroke. But yeah, so I'm.
Yeah, who would like go into the room because she could understand what he wanted.
Yeah.
There were air quotes there.
Right. Well, I mean, in a way, that's not really how it's supposed to work. Like, from a democracy perspective, but could she really have been worse than him? I mean, was she a
right.
Klansman? Probably not. So who even knows? I don't know much about the Wilsons. It's the Woodrow Wilsons.
The only Wilson I know about is from Home Improvement. Was that guy whose face was never revealed?
Yeah, that shtick. President Neighbor Wilson.
Yeah. He just carried like a portable fence everywhere.
Do you remember Home Improvement when they tried to get serious, and they did, where like JTT, for those of you who don't know, is actor Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Dreamboat, when he had like a lump on his neck or something.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
And they built it all up like during the week before of like, and it was like not a comedy episode. It's like he might have like thyroid cancer or something like that, and he cried at one point, but turned out he just had like hypothyroidism, and yeah. he needed to take a thyroid pill every day or something like that.
I like watched a YouTube documentary about that.
The episode?
Like, that specifically.
Really?
Yeah.
I gotta watch that. That's funny. Oh my god. Anyway, we're talking about Hillary Kitten. Oh yeah, so then basically the movie / plan basically becomes with me being dictator. People may be surprised that I'm planning to be the dictator given my hatred for dictatorships, but it's
well,
a little bit
only,
different.
You only hate them because they're not doing it like you would correctly.
I don't think that a dictatorship is the way to go, but if I am the dictator, don't worry, I'll make things pretty good. Like, it's theoretically it's not a good form of government, but I, as the dictator, all the listeners, you'll be fine. You'll actually probably like it better than the Biden administration. Okay.
Okay, I just want to point out to our listeners that your face lit the fuck up.
Well,
You got a little, what is that, like the stalker girlfriend face?
Stalker girlfriend. America, I'm your stalker girlfriend. I'm also in charge.
America, I put an extra clause in this bill.
Remember when we were playing the stalker girlfriend game, and then I freaked you out by coming up with creepy things to say?
Yeah, you like, it started off banal, and then you just got creepier and creepier.
Yeah.
Like, it was like a game of chicken.
I was like, I planned a romantic picnic at the cemetery so we could look at the plots that we want to have together.
No, the plots that you bought together.
Let me take you to the cemetery so I can show you the family plot I bought for us.
Oh my god. Can't even.
Anyway, I don't have time to be with the stalker girlfriend stuff. I'm leading a country, the most powerful country in the world, arguably.
That's
the U.S.
Right. Although, you could brand yourself as America's stalker girlfriend. Kind of like how, like...
Well, my authority comes from Patches, who was originally democratically elected, but then seized power.
Sure, 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 sure.
I mean, we didn't have time to have elections. There was...
There wasn't enough time.
We left it till the last minute.
There was a kitty litter emergency.
We left it till the last minute, and you know what? We're just not having elections this time.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. I wrote a new constitution. It's okay.
Yeah. It's all in there. Hmm. All of it is in there.
If I left something out, don't worry. I'll just add it in. Let me know.
It's all in there. People. It's all in there.
If I left something out, feel free to let me know, and I'll see what I could do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think that if I had the full apparatus of the U.S. government at my disposal, and I had total control, and I had a monopoly on the legitimate use of force, I could do a lot of things that were good. But it's also terrifying. You all just have to trust me, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I would... But no,
I was getting mad about this yesterday. Okay, so I was just telling—I was telling you,
ruminating at home.
I was
about why you're not dictator.
No, I wasn't worried about. I wasn't upset about that. That's too irrational to be mad about. But
wait, what?
I was telling you the other day how a lot of my repetitive, intrusive, like anger, fantasy thoughts, kind of like, you know, where you're like arguing in your head with somebody who's not even there about an argument that hasn't even happened.
I have no idea what that's like.
Yeah. A lot of those have gone way down, if not disappeared, potentially due to meditating every day. I'm not sure. So it's nice. It's like my brain's not completely hijacking the rest of my brain.
Yeah.
But I was mad and was having an argument with myself, with nobody, with hypothetical people the other day about the downplaying of the attempted fascist coup on January 6th by the media and other people saying, oh, the riots at the Capitol riots. And I was like, to myself in my car, I was like, are you kidding me? You mean the attempted fascist coup d'etat? I was like, you people want me to live under a dictatorship of this no talent ass clown, a grotesque clown? Are you fucking kidding me? Hell no.
Wait, this was happening to you yesterday?
Yeah. Well, not too much.
You're
a little late
to the game.
I was doing... No. I've had this fight in my head before.
Oh, okay. This is just bubbled back
up. It came back up. I don't know why.
Okay. Probably Trump farted and someone made a news story about it.
Yes, essentially. It was like they were talking about like his new social media platform. I think it's called like... I want to say Grindr, but it's called Getter, G-E-T-T-R, or something like that, instead of Grindr.
Oh my god, ultimate prank. Go on there and just use it like Grindr.
Well, that's what they were saying, I think, is that people were going on there and trolling, and the mods couldn't, like, control the trolls. They couldn't control them. Yeah, so people were just going on and doing crazy shit. Like, they were, you know, mocking Trump or something, which is good, but I liked it better when we had no news stories about Trump at all.
I have found, in my experience, that going on and trolling the trolls just makes them angrier and dumber.
What do you do, though, to them? You let them just troll without opposition?
Yeah, basically. Because, like, in groups like that, like, don't have very good organizational structure, and they'll tear themselves apart if you let them talk amongst each other for too long.
Should you, instead of trolling them, sow discord within them?
It's very effective. You can, especially if you find two people in the group where they both clearly think that they're right.
Mm-hmm.
Both convince each other that they're right and the other person's wrong, and they'll create a faction and divide it. I've seen it literally happen before on a message board I was on.
So what could you or I or somebody else do to speed that along and facilitate it?
Well, that type of person, that group of people enjoys lively, intelligent debate. So all you have to do is start facilitating arguments that you know that they disagree on.
Good point. So be like, hey, I just had a question. Maybe we can have a debate about it or something. Mm-hmm. And then you start talking about, I don't know what the Trump people are debating about.
Yeah, I don't know the details because that's clearly not my ideology.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you want to go in and do that to someone, you would have to, I don't know.
I don't. I can't with those people.
Well, I can make a quick cookbook on how to, like, infiltrate if you're interested.
Like the anarchist cookbook, but for...
For, like shutting down fucking Trump coups.
Well, you should do that, actually, make some kind of a playbook for shutting them down, because it could be more effective if you just let them self-destruct, if you can just manipulate them and turn them against each other. I want to just say something funny that I learned on Behind the Bastards podcast. I was listening to the episode about Papa Doc, the dictator of Haiti, former dictator, Duvalier. And I guess, like, when the CIA was trying to fuck with them, they knew that he was they thought he was superstitious because he kind of appropriated voodoo and stuff like that, you know, whether he really believed it or not, who knows. But, and so they bought the rights to publish the content of the horoscopes in a French magazine that they think Duvalier read, and then they looked up when his horoscope was, and then they would write things in there. And it's
that,
like,
amazing.
It's like, okay, that's the Central Intelligence Agency, ladies and gentlemen. Slow hand clap. It's God. Like, I guess it's worth a shot, but I wouldn't focus on that as your main strategy.
It's definitely, like, okay, to be real, it is kind of cool that they would try it. It's like, it feels like throwing darts into the, like, darkness.
As, like, what, who knows how, if this was, it's, on its face, it seems ridiculous. On the other hand, if that was, like, one of, like, many, many, many things they were trying,
right,
fine. But I would not have that be even the first 100 top things likely to work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you can do that with some kind of psyop stuff with the, are they even called the alt-right anymore, or have they gone past that?
I don't know. They're just
the Quanons.
Bunch of fucking dweebs.
The Quanons.
Quanons.
The Quanons, yeah. The quinines. Isn't that a type of...
The quinines.
The quinines. Isn't that type of water?
You'll never get malaria if you join this group, but you're going to suffer from low-pitch hearing loss.
I don't know why they would. What, can you connect the hearing?
Oh, so quinine is a treatment for malaria.
Uh-huh.
But it is a light paralytic, and it can numb the nerves that detect low pitch frequencies.
Oh. Is quinine in tonic water?
It's added to it.
Okay. Yeah. So when people are drinking gin and tonics, are they hurting their hearing?
Not permanently.
Okay.
It's more like a it's almost like one of those topical analgesics.
Oh, okay. So it, like, doesn't damage your hearing. It just, yeah, like...
It's, like, way... If you drink a ton of quinine, it can fuck with your hearing.
Yeah, but I mean,
don't know
if
it's permanent or not.
Who can drink that much tonic water?
Like, I was on a gin and tonic kick for a while, and I used to hear, like, low... You know how, like, you get tinnitus?
Mm-hmm.
If you, like, that nerve stops functioning, you'll start getting ghost sounds.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting it for super low pitches.
Oh.
At a point.
And you're like,
and then I stopped drinking and it went away. So, yeah.
Like, maybe I should have something else to drink.
Yeah. It was I heard that people you wanna hear it's fucking horrible. I heard that sociopaths drink gin and tonics, and I'm like, oh, I wanna do that.
Oh my God. I want to be like them. That's cool.
That's what people think about people who drink gin and tonics. Sign me up.
I want to be perceived as a sociopath. I don't know if that makes you a sociopath or just makes you worse than a sociopath.
I don't know.
What is wrong with you? You're weird.
I feel like I find the dumbest option for things to do and then, like, sprint toward it.
Did you do it just because you thought it was, like, whimsical and you wanted to be able to say that? Or do you really want to be...
Let's be real. A lot of it was me being like, oh, yeah, remember, like, haven't you heard people that drink gin and tonics are sociopaths? And then I take a sip.
And stare at them.
Yeah. So, no, I'm still just an attention whore.
The underlying... logic behind all of these things is, how do I get attention focused on me?
That's right.
Now you have your own podcast.
That's right.
And you know what? When I'm the dictator, I'll make you... What cabinet position do you want?
Ooh. Can I be...
I can't make any promises.
Press secretary.
yes, if you jump out from behind the bushes.
Can you...
A la Sean Spicer.
Oh my god, we are going to go so far together. That is the best thing I've ever heard. Can I toss it... Does it have to be a bush every time? Or can I do something just fucking ridiculous? Like,
what I want you to do at least once is to be in a trash can with the bottom of the trash can cut out so you can stand on the ground, and then you have handles on the inside, and you pick it up, shuffle along, place it back down, and then you inch closer to the press core, and then when someone opens the trash to throw something out in there,
talking.
Then you spring out of
and
the trash
start,
can,
like,
and then you
think,
and then you start singing "Happy Birthday to You."
Yeah. Oh my god.
Happy birthday, okay. Mr. President.
I agree to all this if for one time you let me just fall asleep at the pedestal or at the podium.
Can you fall asleep on cue?
Yeah, or I'll at least just pretend. You know how, like, Boris Johnson just walked into a freezer and waited for the press to leave?
He did.
Yeah. I want to do something ridiculous like that and just pretend to, like, nap at the podium.
Sure.
Okay.
Actually, you should give your press conferences from a hammock.
Oh, that would be so nice.
Yeah.
Everyone can chill. Everyone gets their own hammock.
No, the press doesn't. They get, like,
they have
folding
chairs. Oh, my. They all have to stand in a circle around me while I'm at the hammock.
Yeah. Sure.
People, you're interrupting my nap.
No further questions.
And I just get one of those little, like...
You just read a prepared statement.
One of those little things that you put over your eyes to block out the light.
Yeah. Like, statement, you know, what is the date today? The 15th? The 16th? 18th. I was off a few days.
Now.
July 18th. Hear ye. The decree from Her Highness, President for Life... General Patches, a.k.a. Old Blood and Guts.
Oh,
I guess that was Patton's, like, name. One
oh,
of his
okay.
nicknames.
That was actually a thing.
Another nickname of Patton was... this is all from the Wikipedia article, so... Welcome to Breakfast with Your Friends, where Connie talks about Wikipedia articles she's read in the last week. another one was Bandito. And I actually think that would be a good name for a cat or a dog. Bandito.
That's a good... I'm trying to decide. Dog or cat.
Dog. And the dog would be little and would wear...
And it has
wear.
A handkerchief.
That's what I'm saying. I was just going to say. A red handkerchief around his neck.
Oh my god. Is it a corgi?
It could be. I was thinking one of those white dogs that has, like, brown spots on it. I don't know. There's a lot of different breeds that could be.
That is describing many, many dogs.
I don't know, like, any breeds of dogs, but I was thinking of some kind of, like, short-haired, like, low-rider dog that has a smile on its face and pointy ears.
Oh, like the Shiba Inu?
I don't know.
Hold on, I will look it up.
But it could be a corgi. Let's say for the sake of simplicity, Bandito is a corgi with a red bandana around its neck.
Okay. I'm into that.
Yeah. Do you want to hear something that I learned from my World War II documentary about the Nazis that is actually probably the one kind of cool thing the Nazis did? Do you want to hear about it?
So we're treading down that path.
Here's the thing. I don't think... I wish that the U.S. had done it instead of the Nazis. It's just basically, it's a cool tactic. And unfortunately, they thought of it. What they did was, during the Battle of the Bulge, they obtained people who spoke English. I'm not sure if they were... It was a little unclear whether these are people who were Germans who had gone to America and then, like, came back, or they were German. They were German Americans who were born in America who spoke German and came back, or they were just Germans who learned English. But whatever, they got people who German, you know, Nazis who were in the army of,
right,
who spoke English. Then they found like, when there was dead, you know, American soldiers, they, like, took their uniforms and stuff and dressed these people up,
right,
in their outfits, and then they, like, integrated back into the U.S. like, army. And,
oh, that's,
like,
terrifying.
And just basically did, like, sabotage. So, like, they would, like, fuck up signs. They would tell people, like, the wrong thing. Be like, oh, this is the orders over here. They give them the wrong intelligence. They would, like, sometimes kill people or just like sabotage machines, you know, like, or tanks or all that. But then it also got out that there was like people within, eventually like within their ranks who were like Germans, you know, right. And it, or Nazis rather, and that like morale wise creeped everyone out, even though it didn't really cause all that much damage like militarily, apparently, you know, like it did cause some, they killed some people.
The potential seems like it was there.
They killed some people, they directed some people like the wrong way, you know, so they messed up some machines, but they didn't like, it's not like they were able to kill like any significant number of people on the Allied side, but it caused a lot of like
a hell of a tactic.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, go. Okay. I'll give it to him.
That was an idea. We should have thought of that, but we didn't. So.
I'm sure we do in some capacity now.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Like the entire like spy landscape these days is so intractable that everyone's just working for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Like I'm a sextuple agent.
And like that line from Community, you're not doing cool conspiracy theory stuff. You're just doing random crap.
Yeah. That's what describes a lot of governments at this moment.
Yay. All right, so let's take a quick
ad break.
Yeah, well, we'll call it an ad break to the listeners, but really it's a pee break. Okay. I mean, let's
so while you guys listen to this ad, you can think about us peeing or not. Hey,
all right. Bye.
And we're back.
That sure was a very fun break that involved urinating.
Well, for you. Some of us didn't, but instead we had a snack. That was me.
That's fair.
I had a
so we both got what we wanted.
Half of a fruit bar that I had squirreled away.
Oh, that sounds so good right now.
In my bag. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. I cannot wait. I'm going to eat after this.
We're both a little hungry because we last ate hours ago and it was bagels.
It was bagel.
Well, we each had a bagel.
Right. Well, yeah, remove the ambiguity of it.
Yeah.
Like, I have eaten two bagels before, so I want to be explicit about how many that I've eaten today.
Today you only had one.
That is true. Mm-hmm. I have had one bagel, and that is it. And it's like 5 o'clock.
We're about to pass out.
Okay. I understand now why I'm hungry.
It's all making sense.
Yeah.
It's a calorie deficit.
That's all right. I made a wonderful zucchini casserole a couple days ago that I'm going to have some leftovers of.
Did you put meat in it?
I did.
Damn you. I'm vegetarian for the listeners, so that's... now that means I can't have any of it.
One of these days, I'll make one that's vegetarian.
Didn't you make one that was vegetarian for me?
It turned out horribly, though.
Yeah, but was that because it didn't have meat or was because you fucked up?
I fucked up.
Exactly.
And the meat, I don't know. The taste of the sausage needs to be worked on. Like, there wasn't enough fennel in the sausage that we purchased for you.
I don't remember that we put fake sausage in the one you made for me.
I did.
Oh, okay. Did. All I remember about the one you made for me was that it was just too watery.
It is a watery dish.
Right, but I thought the taste of it was fine. It was just that it was, like, excessively watery.
I don't know. One day we'll work on
because
it.
Because, like, you didn't use the right pan. Your mom later told you the pan was flawed.
Are we going to put my ability to cook not on display?
Well, that was years ago.
It was years ago.
You've gotten better, probably.
Eh.
But I have never gotten another...
You haven't.
Another zucchini.
You've never asked.
I know. I forgot.
You gotta ask, and you shall receive.
Brian, can you make me vegetarian zucchini casserole, please?
Not right now.
Can you make it soon?
Soon, yeah.
Okay.
Bring the zucchinis.
I kind of wanted you to take care of everything.
I can
bring zucchinis, actually, because not only could I go buy them, but my dad and my mom, but my dad has, like, two community garden plots. So he grows, like, an excessive amount of vegetables that... it's impossible to eat, and many of them are typically zucchinis. So okay. I can definitely get, like, I could get a box of zucchinis in, like, a month.
I feel like now I have to describe this dish, so we're just not talking random crap in front of people. So this dish is really good, by the way. It's actually super easy to make. So all you do, you take zucchini, which is already one of the best foods on the planet. You cut up 3 medium-sized zucchinis into little, like, silver dollar-sized things.
But not silver dollar level thinness, right?
No, probably like half an inch thick. Mm-hmm. But, you know, cut them half an inch thick and right. make just a bunch it? Of, like, coins out of
do
it.
Do you peel it?
No, you do not peel it.
Okay.
And then you take all of those and put them in water, bring the water to a boil, and then immediately turn it off. And what that'll do is it flash fries any bacteria on it, and it also, like, it starts softening it up, but doesn't get it too mushy.
Mm-hmm.
And so you layer that in a casserole dish with mozzarella cheese.
Do you put the zucchini as the base layer?
I use sauce and then zucchini.
And then cheese.
Yep. So I layer sauce, zucchini, sausage.
Crumbled?
Yes, crumbled sausage and cooked sausage. You want to get rid of some of the excess fats.
Crumbled sausage that is also cooked?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or if you want to make a vegetarian, nothing. Or fake sausage. Nothing.
Or whatever you want. And right. then you just layer that up and make sure cheese is at the top and then throw it in the oven for 40 minutes at 350.
How many... Do you layer cheese or you just put cheese on the very top?
I layer the cheese in.
Okay.
It's zucchini, sauce, sausage, cheese. And layered however you want, basically. What? I don't think it matters all that sauce. Much. I don't think it matters all that much. I like starting it as sauce. That way there's something like fluid right. on the bottom.
How many times do you layer it just until you hit the top?
Until I run out of zucchini, basically.
And then you bake it?
Mm-hmm. You stick it in the oven. I usually put it in 350 degrees for about 40 minutes. Then I keep checking it to make and take it out after the top has been browned. And that's why you got to have the cheese at the top. That way you can see if it's been browned.
Right.
And that's how you know it's so fucking good. It's so good. Oh my God. Zucchini and sauce and sausage and all the spices blend so well. And the cheese at the top keeps anything from leaving. And so you wind up with just this super potent dish that's been baked together. And everything tastes like everything else. And the texture is wonderful. And my God.
It's a melting pot of deliciousness.
And so my mother kind of like worked this recipe out when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. And then... I've had it ever since,
Perfected it.
Oh, it's so good. I've tried several variations, and I cannot get it to be better than this.
It does sound fairly easy.
It's so easy.
I mean, it takes some time to prepare, but like not that much preparation.
If you're good at things, it's probably like 20 minutes of prep.
I'm not good at things, but even I think I could do that in the sense of I am able to cut zucchini and boil them. I assume I'm able. I've never tried boiling them, but I don't see how I could not.
Yeah.
You basically just put them in the water, bring it to a boil, and then turn it off.
Yeah,
I can do that.
And then run it under cold water so you don't burn your hands because you've
got don't stick your hand in the boiling water.
Right.
That's just common sense.
And then this thing makes a casserole dish that we've never had. Like more than like a bowl's worth of leftovers. Like everyone demolishes this thing every time it gets made.
Nice. What was I gonna say? I can't remember. But what kind of cheese?
I use mozzarella and cheddar.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I like blending the two.
You grate them up?
Yeah. And, well, I buy them pre-shredded because I'm lazy. But if you the pre-shredded is IMO fine unless you want to like max out your potential flavor.
Right. Cool.
But yeah, no, it's super easy. And like the big thing is how healthy it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it's historically, or at least like in my experience, dishes that are easy to make tend to be really bad for you. Like macaroni and cheese or like hamburgers.
Yeah, again, it just depends on the ingredients, I think.
Yeah, well, exactly. But, easy dishes tend to not be the best for you. And for something, like, that's really low energy, Like, there's never a point when you have to rush things.
Right.
Which is kind of rare in cooking, especially if you're dealing with, like, sauces.
Well, this is pretty much, I mean, not you could put the sausage in or not, but it's basically vegetables, cheese, and sausage, and then, you know, sauce. But it's, like, it is fairly healthy. Yeah. It sounds like. I mean, the sausage is probably the least healthy, and the cheese are the least healthy part. But a lot of it's zucchini, which is fibrous and vitaminous.
Yeah, and this is kind of my dish where if I catch myself, like, falling off the veggie train, just like, all right, well, I'm going to make zucchini, and it's going to get me back into liking veggies again.
Mm-hmm.
And then, sure as hell, I, like, wind up making a salad every other day of the week because I'm like, oh, yeah, green things taste good.
And they make you feel like you're not dying.
Yeah, right? And I poop more than twice a week.
Everyone else is like, could you stop eating so many vegetables?
Oh. But no, so that's a... I want to do a bit of a rickety segue into, you know, this has been, like, learning to cook these dishes has been part of my goal of becoming a better human being. Is that...
Okay. And you sip a gin and tonic.
As I sip a gin, I'm putting my sociopathic ways behind me. No more gin and tonic.
You're like, this is what people do, right?
Right.
This is, if you have empathy, you become a better human being. Right?
Yeah, better.
That's what I've observed you guys doing when I tried to study you.
After many years of studying humans, I finally decided to join them by working out at the gym occasionally and cooking my own food.
It's funny because a lot of people call that, like, jokingly, like, adulting, but we're like
humaning.
Yeah, we're like, we're just being humans, right? Like, and people are like, you're just being a mature adult. Like, that's not how I see it. I see it as joining the human race.
So, not gonna lie though, it is a there's something that was gloriously missing from my life, and then, you know, there's a lot of things that you never get around to.
Yeah, gloriously missing. It was pretty sweet.
You know, there's a lot of things that, like, you never wind up getting to in life. I think, you know, other things take control and kind of steer where you're going. And some, you know, oftentimes it's like a career or whatever, like some mm-hmm. passion project or trying to, you know, pay rent. But having, I don't know, being able to try and fill in those little holes, like, learning how to cook for myself has been really rewarding in a way that I wasn't expecting. Because now that I have that baseline of, like, oh yeah, I can make dishes whenever I want, like, it's really taken over how I think about other things. Like, now when I go out, I look for things that I couldn't make myself.
That makes sense.
Or, yeah.
This breakfast this morning, notwithstanding. Okay. Which we had bagels.
But to be real, I don't think I could make that olive cream cheese that they make is so good.
You could make it. You get cream cheese and get olives. Yeah, and chop it up and mix it in. It would be easy.
Fair. It does, like, so I could. Uh-huh. I could. It's a matter of, like, would I be able to buy it and have it be worth it then? I mean, with how many bagels I eat, yes. But it is worth considering.
Yeah. No, that's good. I mean, that's... cooking has given you an insight into food in general.
Yeah.
Another dimension. It's not just something that you get at the restaurant. It's something that you can also get in the kitchen.
It is. And I find... So I actually haven't had Taco Bell yet this year, basically. I mean, there were a couple months... In the beginning,
stopped like a few months ago.
Yeah, I stopped in March.
Oh, okay.
So it's been over half the year right. So far.
Yeah, you've definitely cut back on your Taco Bell.
It's gone. Right. It's out of my life.
Now it is, right.
Like, yeah, all fast food. The only thing that's remote, there are two places I'll still go, and it's Moe's and Panera Bread.
Right. Those are okay. I guess it does depend on what you order there. But Panera's... I mean, again, like, it's... If you can eat a lot of stuff at Panera, and lo and behold, that was an unhealthy meal that you overate at. But the actual individual items of Panera are not, like, toxic to human bodies. Whereas at Taco Bell, as much as I love almost, it pains me to say this because I love, like, all kinds of Mexican food from authentic to completely inauthentic, but Taco Bell is almost poisonous.
Yeah, it's at the point where it's not Mexican food. It's not even Tex-Mex. It is just sludge that they put in a flour tortilla.
I think that's the thing with, like, the really low fat fast food ones, like McDonald's, Taco Bell, like, all those. I think it's, like, it's questionable, like, to the extent to which they're food.
Right.
Like, like, it's very low grade stuff.
Yeah.
So it's, like, I love, I mean, beans and tortilla.
Yeah.
I love that shit.
Oh, yeah.
But is it beans? I don't know.
Is it, in fact, beans?
Right. Like, I hope so. I haven't been to Taco Bell in a long time. You know why I don't go to Taco Bell is I love salt, but whenever I've gone to Taco Bell, it's so salty.
It's way too
that
salty.
I am so uncomfortably thirsty after I eat a Taco Bell for, like, a whole day that I'm like, I can't even eat a Taco Bell.
Yeah. And, you know, like, the amount of salt in there is partially what makes fast food addicting.
Yeah, but I mean, like I said, like, I do eat, like, I don't shy away from salt, but I'm nowhere near.
You've got a ways to go. Well, you also tend to eat, like, more, less processed foods, so I think your tolerance for salt is a lot lower than the average American.
I eat Trader Joe's frozen foods and non-frozen foods.
Yeah,
and
but those things are pretty, like,
they have, like, each of them has, like, about a third of my daily sodium, so it's not that bad because it's typically one of them is, like, a meal.
Right.
But then on top of that, I will be putting tomatillo sauce and other stuff, sauces that have salt.
Oh, so you actually get plenty of salt.
I do. I got plenty of salt.
I was vetting for you and defending your salt intake, but you're worse than I am.
I'm not worse than you are when you're on the Taco Bell wagon.
I'm
or
not
off
on,
the
I'm...
Or off of it.
That wagon's in a different county.
When you've hitched... When you're sucking at the Taco Bell teat, as it were.
Ugh, I'm just imagining, like, one of those fucking hamburger, like, tubes that they squeeze out their meat.
Yeah, when you're sucking on that.
Ugh.
Then... I'm way less salt than you, but now, I don't know. I mean, you do eat, so you still eat out a good amount, which probably has, you know, Panera has, like, a good amount of salt in it.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, you can actually taste the things.
Panera has food involved, real food. Like,
that's fair.
They got food in their food. That's a good slogan for them.
They got
Panera.
Food in their food.
Food in our food. 100% food.
But, yeah, so I, long story short, cooking... I think has given me this ability to see that I was eating trash my entire life.
Mm-hmm. Well, since you left your parents' house.
Your
parents cook
No, my
cook
parents
trash.
I basically lived outside of a freaking 4-star restaurant, like,
lived inside of it.
I don't know
it.
Why I, like, went to, like, 7th grade swears for that, but yeah, I lived inside that restaurant. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. Like, having someone who knew how to cook really well was very nice.
I grew up in, like, a bland health food restaurant.
Like, you tell me that your parents try to make food as bland as possible?
Kind of. Like, we had several rotating meals that we ate, and some were good, like, when we had quote-unquote Mexican. It was basically just, like, refried beans that my parents would always buy, like, if not organic, then, like, quality food.
Right.
So, like, when I say refried beans, I don't mean, like, Taco Bell swill. I mean, like...
No, you mean
know.
Actual refried
yeah,
beans.
Yeah, they were probably organic or whatever, maybe not. But, and, like, you know, whole wheat tortilla, like, salsa, vegetable, whatever. Like, Mexican food, you know, our interpretation of Mexican, not super autentica, but it was still, you know, it was still tasty because it's anything resembling Mexican food in any way, shape, or form is delicious, in my opinion, as a general rule. Mexico, thank you so much for your food. It's amazing.
Oh my God. Unreal.
And also some other things are great from Mexico, but
mostly the food, let's be real.
Yeah, I don't know enough about the art. I like the Day of the Dead type art.
They have a big goth scene in Mexico.
Interesting. I'm sure they do. But their other meals, like I mean, what else would we have? Well, I can't remember right now, but the point is, my parent, like, my mom says she doesn't like a lot of flavor, and she kind of doesn't. And then my dad, like, doesn't want to ever follow a recipe, so so he'll be, like, stir-frying stuff, and he's, like, he takes all these really good ingredients and is, like, fussing with them for, like, a long time and, like, pushing them around in a wok and, like, all sorts of stuff. So it's, like, high-quality, like, organic-type ingredients that he spends a long time with, but just because he's using zero recipe and he's also not, like, a trained chef, it ends up being tasting like nothing because there's no seasoning. My mom tries to take the fall being like, well, I don't want any, like, seasoning, or I'm the one.
So,
and I'm,
she's
like,
defending his bad cooking.
And she makes it sound like it's just for her. And I'm like, I don't know. I think that you should just follow a recipe. Like, because the recipes are already worked out ahead of time by professionals.
By people who presumably know what they're doing.
Yeah, and, like, they just, it doesn't have to be that complicated. It's more like, oh, like, this kinds of vegetables would be good with, like, these three spices that I could put in there. Right. My dad took an Indian cooking class years ago, and for a very brief period of time after that class, he was making really good food because he was following the recipes from Indian cooking class.
What?
And the food had flavors in it. He had bought spices. He put them in.
We ate them.
Like, he's certainly capable. It's just, like, they don't execute on spices. That's the problem. That's the problem with my parents.
It happens.
And they're cooking.
And you know what it probably is? And I know we were just talking about it, but salt.
A lot of it is salt, but some other kind of, like, an herb would be nice, too.
Like a couple, yeah. My egg game, like, got real after I learned that, the salt actually changes the taste.
Salt is good for stuff, especially eggs. Salt and pepper are good on eggs. I don't really put pepper on much stuff.
I don't like black pepper on, like, I like the bare minimum.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's just kind of like, you just taste kind of like pain, and you're not adding much to this dish.
Does black pepper taste spicy to you?
No, it just tastes painful. Hmm. Like, it's not spicy. It just it's an unpleasant sensation in my mouth with no flavor, discernible flavor.
Yeah, black pepper's not my favorite, but it's usually around, so I might put it on something if it's boring, which eggs typically are boring. They need something more on them.
That's, you know.
Do you want to talk about your art?
I do.
Because we're running out of time, aren't we?
Oh, we got plenty. This is our podcast. It could go on for hours.
This is a 4-hour podcast
episode.
This
is the end of the first half. Now for the next hour, I'm going to talk about how great I am.
Update on Brian's greatness.
No, okay. So, a while ago, I don't know if I mentioned... Have I mentioned this on the podcast? That I started a thing where I draw every day. Every day, for anyone who missed that or blocked it out of their memory for whatever reason, I don't know why you would do that. I have started a thing where I will do things every day. And I realize this just sounds like keeping a schedule because that's what it is.
It's keeping a schedule, but instead of going to work every day, you are practicing a discipline.
Yep. So for maybe an hour or two every day, I have been... one of the things that I've been doing is I've been drawing. And it is remarkable because I was never great at drawing. My hand is shaky. So I've never had... Like, clearly that muscle is not developed. That memory is not developed for my ability to hold a pencil well. Love to say that that's gone away. I can hold a pencil great now. And it turns out that practicing, I think it's been about a month now, so I've probably got a good 60 to 100 hours of practice in. And it turns out putting 100 hours into something really makes you okay at it.
There was that 10,000 hour hypothesis that if you put 10,000 hours into something, it makes you like an expert. But, 100 hours, depending on what it is, it can make you okay.
I'm okay. Like, I've learned how to draw mountains. I can see, like, I have that hashtag artistic vision that people talk about. It's real. I can see things now in a way that I couldn't before. Like, if I'm drawing, and I can, like, see what needs to be done to bring out this image that's in my brain. And mm-hmm. I couldn't do that a month ago.
Yeah, you could see an object, and then you can understand how you would render it.
Right.
Like, you're like, all right, these are the parts of this chair that I'm going to draw. And, like, how the techniques I'll use to make it look a certain way that I want it to look, that's, like, in a style.
Right.
Your drawing has gotten a lot better. At, it's gotten more complex because you also got a iPad, iPad Pro. Brian likes to buy fancy stuff because his tastes run high. He's a fancy kind of...
That is
kinda...
not how I remember describing it at the beginning.
What? How? Describe what?
Oh, my...
Your tastes?
Yeah, my tastes.
Your tastes are... you like the finer things, especially in electronics.
Hmm. Yeah, you're goddamn right I do.
And... not in everything. Like, you're not, like, always trying to go out to super fancy restaurants or anything like that.
My circumstances have precluded me from thinking that is an option.
Yeah, but you do like, isn't there a time when you went to a really fancy hotel and you liked it a lot?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you
if
like
I
the fine.
I have the means, I'm going to.
Yeah, you like the fine things. And so, and you have good reasons for wanting to buy the top of the line electronics because, you know, you're a computer science background and you know what these things can do and you know what you want to do and you don't want to settle.
I appreciate the complimenting my background, but it's actually not the computer science that the background that's got me loving this device. So it like the iPad, the Pro, like the large one, the screen is so big. It's like 13 inches basically. I think it's 12.9, and I've never had a tablet that big. So being able to draw on a screen that is not too much smaller than my actual computer monitor is really nice.
Right. And Apple continues to make elegant products somehow, whereas somehow like non-Apple doesn't typically. And it is really cool. I've played with this iPad and it has a like fancy expensive Apple Pencil that you can use to draw like right on it, and we can make animation.
Oh, it's a pressure sensitive. It's probably about as good as my Wacom tablet.
Yeah.
Like in terms of sensitivity and accuracy.
But what I was gonna say is when you're drawing on that, not to say you couldn't do this with like, you know, paint or colored pencils or markers, but you know, you've been using more color, and so I've seen your drawings be more complex. Like you did one of somebody lying in bed and you did good perspective and shadow from the light coming in through the window. That was really good.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate hearing that because I am a sucker for attention, as you remember. But no, so like the thing that's become really clear to me is that like humans can probably do pretty much anything if they put their mind to it long enough.
Yeah, I think that's true to a large degree. I think there's limitations that certain people have.
Yeah, and I... that's,
myself included, not just, like, all of you people. But
right.
Myself especially. But you're right, like, for example, like, if I wanted to, I could learn to play an instrument okay. I would never be in, like, a symphony orchestra.
Right. Well,
but
I don't want to rule that possibility out. Certainly, you'd have an uphill battle compared to someone who started when they were 10.
I'm sure I just, like, labor economy-wise, like, I'm sure that I simply just couldn't. But that's okay. I don't want to. But I could certainly learn to play an instrument if I wanted to, but I don't probably want to put all my time into that specific thing.
Right.
But I could. Now, like, I could probably be a computer programmer, but I'd have to spend a long time figuring out a lot of things.
Having a good sit down and think.
For years, probably. And you know what? I'm giving up.
Yep.
I've also never tried that hard, but like a lot of things, it's just like I have a finite amount of time left and also finite amount of free time. So I'm probably going to stick to certain kinds of things, but it is nice to know that there's a lot of options available to me and everyone out there. As far as, you know, if you're bored, well, you can try a new thing and get good at it.
Yeah, you can. And I recommend it, honestly, because I'm certain, like, everyone has something in their life that they wish that they'd learned or wish that they'd learned to do. And, like, I am tired of living that way, so I'm just going to do it.
And one thing I like about your iPad, I mentioned earlier, is this cool animation feature.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so fun.
So I have the software called Procreate. It is a very nice, like, super cheap for what it can do.
Easy.
Yeah, it's really intuitive.
It's like simple.
Drawing app.
Yeah.
But it can also do animated GIFs or yeah. GIFs.
GIFs.
Yeah.
I did one yesterday. It's of a cat.
You did, and it turned out great for your, like, especially for your first animation project.
I thought it did turn out well. I could it be better? Probably, but for what I was trying to do, not really. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I could, like, you can make a better animation for sure, but I, from what I was attempting, I don't really think I had a vision that was much more elaborate than the one I did for that quick thing. I only wanted to spend, it was like 12:30 in the morning when I started this animation.
Right. It was like 2 by the time like everything got done.
Can we put, I don't know if we're going to or not, but these kinds of GIFs like on our website?
I'm sure we could find a way to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we could do that.
Maybe. Or we could just leave it in suspense so no one can ever know.
Right.
You no just one... assume that we're amazing.
You can't see these little animations. And they're like, we don't care.
They care. I know this isn't exactly the most visual media, but...
Well, anyone who's listening to this has probably seen 500, like, small animated GIFs just in the last year.
A year?
Well...
More like week. I've probably seen 500 today scrolling through Twitter.
In 2021. Right. So, I mean, certainly people aren't in... They're not thirsty for sweet...
Thirsty for
GIF
gifts.
Water. No, not at all.
That sweet GIF water.
It's a desert.
Lake.
It's a desert.
There's no, this desert.
There's an oasis.
Nothing
in the future.
Is animated. Everything is static, and I'm trying. I need a little bit of that GIF water.
Is that a mirage?
Is that a mirage or is that an animation?
Did you ever see Pleasantville, the movie, where everything is in black and white, and then it's like the 50s, and it's all in black and white, and then someone becomes, I don't know, exposed to something non-50s, and it's like, it's in color.
You know what? I kind of remember this. This came out, like, what, like 10 years ago?
No, a lot longer. It was probably in the, like, late 90s or early 2000s.
Okay. Maybe I saw it back in college then.
Probably. But, well, similarly, there could be a movie where it's completely still until it becomes animated.
Isn't that literally every movie?
Well, most movies don't start off for like 40 minutes as a still shot, but this movie would, because until the conflict, until the change happens within the story, it's just still.
This is that avant-garde my mom keeps telling me about.
Your mom keeps telling you about avant-garde.
I don't know.
No offense to your mom, but
it's
I didn't know that. I really got no vibe that she was involved in like the avant-garde art movement.
She was tangentially related to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, she was hard into, not avant-garde, but, like, she was big into the electronica scene of the 70s.
Oh, okay. Like, music?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's always been into, like, pretty, like, out there music.
Right. Yeah, not to say that she didn't like that music, but I just didn't see her as, like, living in, like... I don't know, France, and doing like absurd like flash mob performance art.
Yeah, I absolutely could see.
I could see her doing that, but I get the impression she hasn't.
I have she has stories you'll have to pry out of her one day.
Yeah, I know your mom has a lot of good stories.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
Things
Hashtag Brian.
I'm gonna talk about me.
Hashtag Brian's mom stories. Yeah, what if we brought your mom on this podcast?
Oh,
then,
my God, it would never end.
We should. Brian's parents are going to get the internet.
Oh, no.
And we should interview them.
Just to add them on. Oh, we'll see. I don't think I could get my dad to sit down for long enough for an interview.
Why? He would be, like, annoyed at the questions.
No, he's just antsy and likes moving around a lot.
We got to get him one of those mics that you wear on as a headset.
Oh, like one of those lapel mics?
Yeah, and he can pace.
Yeah.
He can pace and talk. Be like, Mr. Brian's dad, can you tell me about the Korean War?
Oh, my God. He would go on. Yeah. No, so then I have one more. My preliminary examination for real analysis is coming up, and I'm getting good about that. Someone should email me questions. Ask me about what it means to be a measurable set.
Well, it seems like you already know the questions that you must answer.
I know, and I'm ready to answer them.
It's weird that they call it preliminary exam, because really it's the last exam that you have to take in that field.
It's preliminary to the qualification exams.
What? You take more qualification exams?
So there's the prelims, which are meant to show that you are good in that specific subject.
Uh-huh.
And once you pass all of your prelims, then you take the qualification exam, which, if you pass, lets you continue on into your dissertation and teaching classes. And if you fail, gets you kicked out of grad school.
Oh, I didn't realize there were two sets of exams.
Yep.
Can you take the qualification more than once?
I think you can take it twice.
That's
but
scary.
But you better not fuck up the first time, because then you've got the added weight of getting kicked out.
Does your program have a master's? Like, will you earn a master's along the way?
I think so, but I'm not worried about that. What I'm worried about is me getting sucked down a rabbit hole of doing other things and neglecting my studies.
Mm-hmm. Like, for example, drawing for hours every day instead of doing math.
Yeah, a lot of Brooklyn Nine-Nine lately.
Mm-hmm.
Probably ought to study those excision properties.
It seems sometimes like, and you're not the only one who's done this, I have as well, when you have to do one thing, suddenly you're then interested in doing all these other things. So the good news is you are doing things, but the bad news is you're still not doing the thing you were supposed to do in the first place.
Yeah, it's just an endless cycle of putting off things for other things.
Right, and you're especially susceptible to that because you have a lot of things that you do want to do,
mm-hmm.
and that you have spent time in the past so you can easily come back to. Like, you have a whole, like, music, as a career, because it's not like you get remunerated for it, but I have
indeed been remunerated for my music.
Well, you have a whole music discipline and like albums. Then you have this podcast business, which I feel like is probably the most potentially lucrative, but the most neglected part of the.
Which one? The math?
The podcast?
Oh, the podcast. Oh, of course you would. Yes. This is absolutely the most lucrative.
The most potentially lucrative.
Most neglected.
Yeah, I would say.
But it's almost like it takes two.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You need to want to be available for it. It doesn't always take two to podcast, but it would. I don't think I should do a podcast where I just talk.
That's a great name for a podcast.
It takes two to podcast.
Yeah.
But there's so many solo podcasts.
But who gives a shit about them?
True. It takes two to tango podcast.
I like it takes two to podcast. That has a real nice ring to it. Maybe we should change our name.
We have this whole brand.
Can that be our slogan? It takes two to podcast?
Well, maybe. I don't know. What do you guys think? The listeners, write in brian@breakfastwithyourfriends.com, connie@breakfastwithyourfriends.com.
Let us know. We
TWO at ittakestwotopodcast.now. Just kidding. We don't have that URL.
Yeah, no, that is
not. It's probably already a podcast, honestly. All
right. So I think that about does it for today.
It looks like it. We've been talking for a while.
Down.
We've gone a whole week where we've just been talking, but we did cut a lot out.
We cut out probably a good, like, 100 hours. That's why you know this this is so as professional as it is. Brian because was, of all the editing that I did.
Brian was like, we should get an editor. I'm like, to do what? I was like, what would they take out?
Look, I'm not saying that. Yeah, I just want to add more crap in for them to take stuff out, basically.
Are you holding back right now?
I'm holding.
Because you don't want to have to edit?
Yeah. I'm very subdued because I don't want to, like, work.
You know what? It's not a bad thing. The fact that you're preventing yourself from saying nonsense that's not usable because you don't want to have to cut it out later. It's good.
Yeah, no, it's not good. You are taking this butterfly and clipping its wings.
But you're saying that you would have to take the stuff out later.
As with all greats in this world, how much chaff was produced in order to create the real germs that spread into the wonders of art that they are today?
You know, what we can do next time, or even now if you want me to give you 5 minutes, is just
complete unfiltered nonsense.
Unfiltered Brian.
I don't think you can handle unfiltered me. I don't think I can handle truly unfiltered me, because really, what does it mean to be absolutely unfiltered? There's this there's this spark that goes uncontrolled within and makes its way through the manifestations of how we think we should behave in this world. So really, to say that we have no filter is to say that we don't exist at all, which is obviously an impossibility. So we do need a filter of some kind. But I think I do know what you are kenning at, and so I can put together anything that you would wish me to in order to create this persona of this person that is completely liberated from their own fetters.
It's like you're a tabula rasa. That's the only way you could be unfiltered, when you were born, before you could even speak, but then you wouldn't be able to do your little monologue.
But I know, it's like, it wouldn't once, be very fun.
It's like, by the time you get to the point where you're able to even talk or monologue, you've already had so much exposure to society that you're no longer unfiltered.
Yeah, and it happens, like, right from the get-go. Also, that was, if you didn't catch, was my little unfettered monologue.
I caught it, yeah.
Yeah.
So you being,
I wasn't being, like, cheeky for the hell of it.
You being, when you say unfiltered, what you mean is you just want to pretend that you're in, like, a play and delivering, like,
a play,
a monologue. Kind of. That's what I got from that, is you were kind of talking old-timey and emphatically.
I just use my words more liberally.
Mm-hmm. You don't need to tone it down. We can be intellectual. Our listeners are intellectual, as far as I know.
As far as I know. Although,
I don't know who you're thinking of, but all the ones.
Oh, no, I'm not aying our intellectuals. I'm aying my level of commitment to it.
Oh, okay.
Like, that actually having to think about things is exhausting.
Holy shit. You and I thought of a podcast segment, and then we thought about this weeks ago, and then we completely forgot about it, and then we recorded an entire podcast and didn't, like, remember it until just now. Do you know what I'm talking about?
What were you talking about?
Learn words again.
Learn words again!
This is forthcoming, guys.
Okay, it's happening right now. Let's look up 5 words to memorize.
We can't do that right now.
Okay, so next episode we'll begin Learn Words Again.
Learn Words Again. We realized that we used to learn words back when we were in, like, I don't know, middle school, high school.
College.
But now we don't learn words, so we're coasting on our vocab, and you know what, our vocab is better than a lot of people we interact with, so it works out. But at the same time, we gotta learn words again. Hashtag learn words again.
Are we resting on our evergreen wreaths? Oh wait, I meant laurels.
I was gonna say laurels.
Looks like I learned words again.
You remembered words again.
Shit, you're right. I remembered words again.
But you know
again.
What? We do need to remember.
Remember words again.
We do need to remember some words that we don't know anymore. or do we? Do you still know these words? Prevaricate, taciturn. Do you know them?
I know taciturn, but I do not know prevaricate. What is that?
I believe that, unless I need to learn words again, I believe that prevaricate means to sort of like quibble and like kind of, you're kind of going to answer correctly, but you're not going to really answer. Someone's like, where are you going? I'm like, oh, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'll go over here. You're not being straight with somebody. What does it mean?
Yeah. To speak or act in an evasive way.
Yes. Damn. I remembered words again. Make your vocabulary adequate again. Not to allude to the Reagan and Trump. Yeah.
All right. So get ready for that next time. Learn words again.
Learn words again with Connie and Brian, or Brian and Connie, is whatever order you'd want to say it in. Learn words again with your favorite co-hosts, Brian and Connie from Breakfast with Their Friends. Why did you make that sound?
That was a portmanteau of the initials of our name.
B and C. Let's throw a vowel and make it like buck or something like that. I mean, just to that's a little harsh.
H is a vowel.
That's harsh for radio.
That's fair. All right. Have a good one, everyone. It was wonderful seeing you all today. Check me out on Twitter at Garland Frenzy.
Instagram, draw_and_erase_. You can visit us on the World Wide Web at breakfastwithyourfriends.com. It's fairly easy to remember because it is the name of this podcast followed by the most ubiquitous URL ending, .com.
Those are facts.
That's facts. Right. Don't blame me. I'm just delivering facts. Okay. Don't shoot the messenger.
All right. Bye.
Bye.